Okay, we're going to do page.
Ches.
Okay, page should be. One second. Actually, let's do page Yud Aleph.
We're skipping ahead.
No, we shouldn't skip. Where do we get up to? We got to page Tess, right?
I think we did Zion. We finished Zion.
We never did Ches. No, we did Ches Sahib with these boys yesterday. That was the question of the 10 Tfachim.
Was Zion Ches?
We did Zion Ches yesterday. So now we're going to do Tess, page Tess. I remember yesterday, we worked through with the Rav that Reshus HaYachid has basically a certain area which is demarcated by these barriers, and the din of the Ten Tfachim is basically in the space of the Reshus HaYachid that has to have Ten Tfachim. demarcated by the barriers. In Sukkah, the 10th Fachim is basically a din in defining a real wall. The wall itself has to have the 10th Fachim. If we have to have a single wall, which is very, pieces are very close together, you can't make the wall from sheva wood, something which you have to destroy, doesn't get the shear. Shabbos, though, you don't have to have the different pieces together. They can be separated. As long as my area inside is surrounded by a 10 tefach barrier, even a series of barriers, it works. And you can use a shayer wood for that, for those barriers. That's what we saw yesterday. Now, he wants to go a little bit more into what's the definition of the Reshus HaYachid and Shabbos, which we saw yesterday. It means a defined, separated area. So he wants to go into a little bit more background. Not really in the Gemara here, a little bit, but just wants us to get a little bit more idea about what this is all about. So he says, Mechitzas Reshus HaYachid b'Shabbos, Shitas HaRambam. Page Tess. Okay, Muchach Kanal, we've explained just above, Shemachitzas HaShabbos Chalot Lakif Makom, that the barriers of Shabbos, their function is to surround, define the place. Reshus HaYachid. Pasuk Rambam Zelashon. Mavui Shechshera B'Kovah. If you have a Mavui is an alley which has three walls. Now the Rabbanan didn't want you to use three walls. They said you should put up on the fourth side some kind of symbolic demarcation. So you could have a beam across, which is a tefach wide, to cover, or you could put a pole at the entrance to the alley on the side that's 10 tefach high, and that would be the fourth side barrier. So you have either a kora or a lechi. So he says, Mavi shachshira b'kora. If you took a mavi, an alley has three sides, and you make it kosher with this beam across. Now you can carry there on Shabbos, it's like a Reshus HaYachid. But if you throw something from inside the alley to the street, or vice versa, you're going to be potter. This korah does not create a din deraisa of the fourth side. It only creates a din derabanan. So there's a derabanan prohibition to carry without that korah something on the fourth side. If you put it there, you have a heter to have a to carry, but according to Torah, you're not in a Reshus HaYachid yet. So if you take anything from this area to the street or vice versa, you did not do a Malacha Deraisa. The Malacha Deraisa means you take a real Reshus HaYachid and you move something into a real Reshus HaRabbanan, but not in this case. This is only Reshus HaYachid Midrabbanan. It's not a Reshus HaYachid Midrabbanan.
So from the Torah, you're allowed to carry from your house to the Reshus HaRabbanan through a Malacha.
According to the Torah, you have three walls. The Mavui It's not a Rishus HaYochid or a Rishus HaLam according to the Torah. So therefore you could presumably carry in and out.
Take some yeah. Walk straight to the Rishus HaRabim.
You could take from the Mavi to the Rishus HaRabim. You could take from Rishus HaRabim to the Mavi.
And then also from the Mavi to your house.
Yeah. If it's, you pick it up from the Mavi, put it into your house.
You
it if you don't stop in the middle, that's a different discussion. If you go from the house to the street and you go through a Mavi, that's
right.
A different. But if you take it from the street to the Mavi, put it down, you'll be fine. You take it from the Mavi, put it into the house, you'll be fine. According to the Torah.
It's not full carrying. It's just half.
In other words, the carrying begins when you pick something up and it ends when you put it down. So, yeah.
So how does that work exactly? You would walk through that empty space. At what point are you carrying?
Carrying first of all has to have an item, a chayfetz. This chayfetz is munach, it's sitting at rest in a certain place. It has to be either Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYochid according to the Torah.
Meaning the place where you picked it up, it was neither
now,
one.
This alley, which is three sides, is neither Rishus HaRabim, because Rishus HaRabim has to be able to walk through, so the back wall is going to stop the traffic, so you can't call it Rishus HaRabim.
And because it's open, it's not HaYochid.
It's open on the fourth side, it's not Rishus HaYochid, so it's a good area. According to the Torah, you can do whatever you want over there.
So if I had the kavana to walk into this particular mavoy, I picked an item up from across town, I walked all the way to this area.
You put it down and you're fine.
And vice versa.
Yeah, you could do it, right?
But the Rabbanan made a gzera?
Rabbanan made a gzera, yeah. And they said, put a kora there, put a lechi there. And their gzera was that they consider it what they call a karmelis, which is some area that Rabbanan said, don't carry and be strict in both directions. Don't carry from the Kamalas to the Rishus HaRabim. Don't carry from the Kamalas to the Rishus HaYochid.
And they give you the Avera, they give you the violation of Shabbos? They have that power also?
Right. They give you the violation of Shabbos.
And does it become a Deraisa?
No.
Okay.
Just they left with Rabbanan. Okay, good. Now, when you put up that korah on the fourth side, you're doing a derabanan. That's going to make it a Rishus HaYochid, derabanan. Not deraisa. So still, if you take from the mavi out into the street, you're not going to be chayav with deraisa. Because you never close off the fourth side with deraisa. That korah just helped him with derabanan. So if you carry from... You have a mavi with a korah, now midrabanan, it's a Rishus HaYochid, you can't carry from there to the street, but you could carry from there into the house.
So what if you have such a sukkah, and your table is in this neither nor space?
You have the same problem. Sukkah has nothing to do with carrying on Shabbos.
Meaning the space itself.
If you're afraid maybe he might eat on the table, that's a different problem. Nothing to do with this. This is a strictly Shabbos carrying from one place to another place. Yeah,
I guess what I mean...
Not a sukkah problem.
So I guess the gzera would do away with it, but it's a theoretical question, because that space is outside of
the sukkah.
It's outside, and it's not outside or inside. It's just it's an unusual space that almost doesn't exist, but it does exist at the same time. It's like... Outside of time,
it doesn't have a din of a rishus for Shabbos, but it is there, so therefore you have to worry about it on Sukkos.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why does this Gemara use this example of a hazori, not just stomp something you just carry? I guess I
don't know.
Is
right.
Like, yeah.
Okay. So the Rambam quotes that thing, and he says, Yepater. That's all, because his opinion is the behechsha korah, if you put a korah there, ain't a rishus HaYochid device. It won't create a rishus HaYochid from the Torah. Kirak, Badad, Mechitz, you have to have four real walls with four real barriers. Yesh Rishus HaYochid device. Lo Begimel Mechitz is three. The Mavi is not a rishus HaYochid, it's a neutral area. It only has three walls. You need a fourth side barrier to make a Rishus HaYochid. The Korah doesn't do that according to the Torah. It doesn't do Rabbanan, but not according to the Torah. Yes?
This, the Korah, the thing on top, that has to be...
Tefach Wai.
Tefach Wai.
Tefach. where it goes from one end of the alley to the other. To that, but that could be whatever it is. But going in the cross measurement would be one tefillah.
Thickness has to be a tefillah.
Yeah, there's a length and there's a width, and then there's a thickness. The length goes from one end of the alley to the other end of the alley. The width, which is at the end, which is on, you know, from the street going into the alley, the width of that beam has to be one tefillah. The thickness could be anything. These things you want.
Why is that one tefillah and the lechi is four tefillah high?
What's lechi is ten tefillah.
Ten tefillah. Why is that ten tefillah versus just the one?
The toe is going to be 10 tefachim high also because it's sitting on the walls of the mud.
So
it's going to be 10 tefachim high.
And the tefach wide is just so that you...
to make the people should see it, really.
As long as it's above 10 tefachim, that's...
10 tefachim and going from one end to the other end.
But if it's lower than that, it's not...
not going to work.
Okay, fine. Makes sense.
So he says here, the Ravid has a critique. He says, this statement by the Rambam I find very difficult. Since you are allowed to carry, according to the Torah, inside that alley, we're talking about an alley which has three walls. Time will learn, and we pass in. Three walls according to the Torah make something of a Shusa Yachid. And if you put up that cross beam and then you throw from inside to outside, why should it be Pata? It has three walls. It's a Shusa Yachid. It picks something up and threw it into the street. It should be Chayiv. In other words, the Rav feels that three walls make of a Shusa Yachid. According to Torah, the Rambam feels only four real walls.
So, according to the Rambam, what's the significance of a mugway at all?
Because it's opened up to the street, so people get a little bit confused. Really, it's a Shusa Yachid, but they say, oh, the street. People from the street come in to the alley, maybe it's a Shusa Rabbim, so they're getting mixed up. So you put a beam, and that will remind people, no, this is the Shusa Yachid, it's not the street.
So what's the Takana?
The takana was to take a Rishus HaYachid from the Torah and flip it backwards into a Karmelis, which is us in the Rabban.
Okay. So, does he resolve the issue with the Rabban?
No, he argues with it. He argues. So,
where does he get this? Where does he get
Gemaras, there are Gemaras about Shlosho Arba. So
one versus one says.
One's passing this Gemara, one's passing the other Gemara.
Uh-huh. Does the one who paskins Slosha Mechitza have any sort of like trying to make it like a connection or did with Sukkah? Since by Sukkah, I think they say like, you know, you need the two sides and then the third side can be only like a tefach.
That's an interesting idea. I didn't think of that. That's an interesting point. Sukkah is three, and the point of the Bible, we should say, it's also three sides. That would be against everything that we've said till now, that Sukkah and Shabbos are very different.
Yeah, so I'm saying, like, according to the Rav, because it would make sense, because then it would be say also by Shabbos, according to the four walls, that, you know, the fourth wall doesn't need to be,
right.
It needs to be Tefach, but it would make sense if you say three walls and then Tefach, and then it relates more to Sukkah.
Right. Okay. So he says, the Rav, Ech Sheko Rechal, B'Shusayachat the Reis. According to the Ravid, to use this Korah to fix Rishus Yochid Deraisa, the Gimel Mechitzos, Rishus Yochid Min HaTorah. The three walls are the Rishus Yochid of the Torah. From near it, so it seems to me, he says, Shisod HaMachloka too, that the basic argument between the Ram and the Ravid, the Minyan HaMechitzot, the number of barriers and ma'ake which are necessary to grow Rishus Yochid b'Shabbos. The Ravid chala Rishus Yochid b'Shalosh Mechitzos min Atzdad. He gets Rishus Yochid with three walls. But the Rambam b'Shalosh Mechitzos ain't Rishus Yochid min Atzdad. רק באב מחיצוס יש ששיחד מן הצהובה וכן פוסק שם זה הלשון הוא אבל הם הכשרו בלכי if you put a pole on the four side אז הרג מתוך הלשוסרה משוכלה מתוך החייב שהלכי הרי הוא כמחיץ עבור החרביס the lechi is a wall and that wall is with the rice so according to the Rambam the Korah is only with the Rabbanon it doesn't create a Shusha Yachid of the Torah but the lechi is a wall which is from the Torah it makes the Shusha Yachid of the Torah Hareish Shittas Rambam Kivureinu Kishiyesh Abba Mechitzas Misaviv Nachshev Amokim Befinim Kimukaf Mechitzot So he's going back to his basic point that you have to have a surrounded area to call it Mishasa Yachid. The focus is on the fact that the area is demarcated, and the demarcation has to be four sides to get the thing completely defined. If you only have three walls, you don't have a complete surrounding of that Mishusa Yochid. That's not good enough.
So, according to that, it wouldn't function at all?
Oh, so now he's going to go. What are three walls according to the Rambam? Vihine, he says like this, Alfa Bishadas, the Rambam, the Shechalot, Mishusa Yochid, Chluya, the heck of Mokum Abba Ruchot. Even though according to the Rambam, to make a Rishus Yochid, you have to surround the area on four sides, get it completely separated. And call Zem Maskin, but he does agree, Shiesh Chalot Minat Torah, the Mechitzat HaShabbos V'Sholosh Ruchot. If you have three walls, something does happen according to the Torah. Kedmucha B'Dvarav, Perek Zal Mishab L'Chadal, he says, Ezer Kamalus, what is a Kamalus? It means it's neither Rishus Rab nor Rishus Yochid. He says, Karen Zavit, it's an alley, Smuch al-Rishut Rabim, near the street. Makom Mugaf, Shalosh Mechitzot, it has three walls. Ruach Revit, the fourth side, Rishut Rabim, Gon Mavit, like an alley, Shein Lo Lechi, Vekor Beruach Revit, Ad Kan Lashona. Chazina, you see, the Mechitzot, the Shalosh Ruchot, if you have three walls, Mavkiot, Yisur Rishut Rabim, they get rid of the Rishut Rabim area. הופכות את המקום לקאמלות. ועל כן, איפה שבשלות מחיצות לרמב״ם, יש חלוקת המקום לעצמו, that area gets split off with three walls from the street. שם כך אין המקום מסעב לשוסרם, it's not part of the street. אף על פי כן, but still, הוב אין המקום מוקף מסביב לכל צדדיו, it's not completely surrounded on four sides, and then it was שוסר יוחד מנתוק. רק הקף שלם מסביב, only if it's completely surrounded, completely, מחדש שם משוס היחיד. משום הוכי רק כשיש אבא מחיצות, המקיפות המקום לגמרי, חל דין משוס היחיד. Okay, so the Ram is a little complicated opinion. The street, משוס הרב, נטורל level, two walls, let's say two sides of the street with walls, it's still a street, people are walking. Traffic's flowing in the middle, so that's a Rishus Rabim. You put a third wall at the end, that's it, no more Rishus Rabim, because people can't go through. However, not a Rishus Yochid either, because Rishus Yochid has to be completely surrounded on four sides. So you get an area called, completely permitted to go whatever you want with that area. You can carry there, you can carry from there to the street, you can carry from there to the Rishus Yochid, according to the Torah. Everything is fine.
It's not just the mavway that has that status.
Right, anything which has three sides.
Any alleyway, anything.
To right.
I thought mavway was like special in that sense.
Mavway is.
Would it have the dira and the chatzera and
everything? Yeah. There's another piece here in the rub. Whether there's any connection between this discussion and this discussion. Often they don't connect, there's two different problems. One problem is, does the structure of the walls and the way traffic goes and is it Rishus Rabim or Kamos or Rishus HaYachid? It has nothing to do with the houses and putting it down food or anything. And then there's another thing about that when you have houses, even if you have all the walls you want over here, but the problem is people in houses and in a courtyard make people think that it's like a public street, so you get with this food. So it's really two different things, like we would say. He shows later on that maybe there is a connection, yeah.
So a natural, so a dead end, it's a natural three-walled area. So such a place is called a Carmelite.
Right.
And it has its status is you could carry in and out.
According to Torah. The Rabbana came and prohibited it unless you do something on the fourth side. Either you put a beam across or you put a pole. That's at the Rabbana. But the Torah says you do whatever you want.
So the Rabbana would turn it into a Rishus Yachid with a beam or a pole.
Yeah.
So that they... So
now
they go against the Raisa?
Right. They're being stricter. It's there with the
So they got rid of the Carmelist concept.
The Heter.
The Heter Carmelist.
Yeah. Right. The way the Gemara uses the Lashon is the Torah area the Gemara calls Makom Ptur, a place where it's Pata, which means it's mutter to do whatever you want. And then the Carmelist is a term of the Rabbanon that you have to fix it with something, a beam or a pole.
And according to the Ravid, There's no issue.
Three walls already, we should say.
So
but you do still have to put up the fourth sign.
But the Carmelist doesn't exist for the Ravid.
Right.
How does he resolve what the Torah says?
He doesn't need it like the Rambam, the Torah.
He has a different source, maybe.
Right. Yeah. Okay, good. So in the left hand column on page test. Achaleinu lahavin, but we need to understand something. Liba the Rambam, the Rishus HaYachid bin an Abba Mechitzos. According to the Rambam, Rishus HaYachid needs four walls, right? Oh, so now he's really getting to your issue. Madua Shoneh Shabbos Mesukkah. Now let's go back to this question. It seems there's a difference in Shabbos and Sukkah. See, according to the Ravid, it's three and three, so there's some kind of a parallel. But the Rambam says Shabbos needs four sides. Sukkah is good with three sides. So, let's get a little grasp on this difference. So he says, so the Hevdalu, the difference is, Ki b'Shabbos yesh chalos makom, v'shus ha'yochid, Kaf mechitzot. Shabbos, there's a requirement to get a spot called Rishus HaYachid, just surrounded by barriers. Shavod makom Rishus HaYachid, kaf mechitzot. To get such an area called Rishus HaYachid, surrounded by barriers. Kavei Rambam, to be in the heck of misaviv, vidal mechitzot. Rambam feels you have to have a total separation, a total enclosure, all around, on four sides. Like even the Shabbat, Yesh Chalot Din Shel Makom Rishus on Shabbos, you have to get a place where you can give that the title Rishus HaYochid. Ram, however, the Sukkah, Binan Chalot Din Schach Kosher. Sukkah, you're trying to make the Schach Kosher. The hechsher shel chach kosher mechayev suchach samach l'machitzos. It has to have some kind of barriers attached to the schach. I'll say an emra alachal emoshim esinai shedai l'sachach b'gimul machitzot. You can make the schach in three walls. Al b'yishen kan heck of makom. You don't have to surround the area inside k'moshi yesh b'shabbos. The basic rule of sukkah is Schach and Mechitzos. There's no requirement of somehow defining the place underneath or inside. You know, we call it a sukkah, but he's saying halachically the key elements are just the Schach and the Mechitzos. And then inside it's called the sukkah, but you're not. It's a very delicate. It's a little bit of a funny idea. You wouldn't think of it that way, but he's saying that he doesn't think that you're trying to demarcate the area inside as a special area.
This could be, you know, be considered keva, perhaps.
I understand. As opposed to what?
Shabbos, you're trying to demarcate an area, and so for demarcation purposes, you need four complete surrounds. Sukkah, you're not really demarcating the edge. You're not trying to make a makam sukkah, he says. You're just trying to make schach, which is kosher, which has the mechitzos, and eat underneath that schach. But the makam is just something which happens by itself. It's not something that you're sort of, you're trying to do something to create it. So therefore, I don't need a complete demarcation of the makam on four sides.
Because it's sukkah's not like, the point is not, it's supposed to be, all right, it's time for yourself. Not this place is where I keep my sofa. It's like, you know, the whole idea is that it's moving around.
Right. Yeah. It's getting a little bit more of an abstract concept. Which sitting on the...
This is the Rambam's logic? This is the Rav's logic on the Rambam?
Rav's logic in the Rambam.
To explain the three-wall structure of the sukkah and why we'll be fine. Because we don't need to establish a makom. We just need walls for the schach to call it a sukkah. And the Rambam, and the Rav, there's no issue.
Rav is no issue, but according to the Rambam, he says this, and Shabbos, you're going to get the makom. He has a very interesting proof. Yeah.
Can we explain why would it be an issue? And why would we want to say that we're marking off an area?
Where, by sukkah?
Yeah.
I think that just intuitively, I think that most people, when you go inside, you say, I'm sitting in a sukkah. Not so much I'm sitting on the schach, which is kosher.
Well, people sit in the sukkah and they see an empty spot where there isn't schach, they don't sit under that.
Right.
It's not a sukkah.
There is a certain awareness of the schach, that's true.
For sure.
Special, but I think people are also identifying their experience as being in the sukkah, in the spot, in the place. You know, the Rav and Shul keeps on focusing on the schach. Maybe the walls, but not so much on the place inside. It's interesting. The Hasidim, I mean, the Mekubalim also are focusing on the schach, much more than the place. They say the schach is God's shade. It's like the wings. You're under God's wings.
It's interesting. People use the term under the sukkah. You think in the sukkah, but people say under the sukkah.
Tachat, right.
Even in English.
Right. People say tachas, and one of the prayers that they say, tachat tzela demenemenusa, under the shade of belief. The shade of the sukkah, which really has to do with the schach.
But
he's showing halachically that there's also this focus on the schach more than on the place.
That makes an issue with our whole din of if the table's outside and you're sitting inside, because then it has to do with makom.
Right, also the idea that you have to have a certain amount of space to have a place to live in. There's certain rules of dira in the sukkah, right? The table and the size. Diva sucha, you can't have twigs bothering you, so you know, time to just ignore that and say, that's okay, but that's not really, that's something which happens by itself and not something that you're trying to create. It's basically the same. Yeah.
Why does the Rav have this difficulty, again, at this point, meaning that we already defined that they're you know, according to Rav, there's four versus three, but like in general, we discussed that, you know, by Shabbos, this is a mechitza, but by Sukkah, it's the fun of it, you know, they're just two different mice, so why does Rav have to come up with another, you know, svar?
I think he's just coming back to that from some other angle. It's the same idea with Rav.
So I guess there are other points during in the Gemara that where you might want to...
Well, yeah, you know, he likes... In general, he comes up with some of my basic principle, and he likes to go over it again and again, and with maybe a different aspect of it. Because here, he didn't discuss before that the Rambam needs four walls on the Shabbos, and only three in the Sukkah. So he did speak about the 10 Tefachim difference, and maybe some other differences, the Lodizara, etc., but... never spoke about the four walls versus the three walls. So he says it over here. We could have written it up over there. I mean, it's the next page. I could have, instead of stopping by Dala, I could have made it A.
I mean, he also
it just was my decision to do this, because I thought it was a little bit disconnected from what he spoke about before, but it really is
like
a flow.
Kumar also goes like later on, like kind of like goes between Shabbos and Sukkah with the Kumas and seeing the pillars versus the.
Yeah, the Gemara does.
And
you know,
like,
there is quite a bit of mention of the Korah and the Lehi here in Sukkah. It comes up, so it's appropriate to go into this, I think, because the Gemara mentions these things. We must speak about the Erev, so it's a place to maybe expand a bit, like I did over here, but. I do agree with you. It's basically a continuation of the previous discussion.
Yeah. Is this maybe connected to their own concern for figuring out if the ground is part of the sukkah or not?
Yeah, I think it's part of that issue. Yeah, I think so. You know, a lot of times when he says something, like this fellow's interviewing me, the Rav, as a pedagogue, as a teacher, in any particular lesson, he can be focused on one side, one aspect of a complex situation. So when you see that lecture, you say, oh, this is it, but it's not true, because the other parts of it, which he didn't talk about today, but he'll talk about it some other time. So, at least in this first few things here, he's trying to, as you say, get away from the makom of the sukkah or the dira or the karka, and just get yourself focused on the schach and the dof and the real walls and emphasize that part of it now. So if you use that perspective, you can explain the Rambam of 4 and Shabbos and 3 and sukkah. Well, the way he works with ten tefachim, Shabbos, and ten tefachim, and Sukkah. But it's a one-sided view, because it doesn't talk at all about the dwelling of the Sukkah, the Diva, which makes it more complex. The Diva is in the place, it's not. The Diva is not on the Schach, you're not sitting on the Schach. You're under the Schach in the Diva. In fact, we're learning about the Diva, it has to be in a certain amount of.
It's the structure. It's not the makom dira. Dira is talking about the structure.
Okay.
It's not talking about
the
space. The structure. Okay. A house, when you say house, is a dira, you're talking about the walls and the ceiling.
Okay.
Not the space in there.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So in order to resolve, as you said, the dira or the table discussion being outside, can we just consider them separate things? That the Rabbanan ruled you don't want to put the table outside because you'll come to leave the shade. And so too, you want it to be comfortable under the shade so that you won't leave too quickly. You'll sit there for a reasonable time frame. So does it really damage our logic?
I think you can't avoid some amount of Diva from the Torah, not just an example of one by the table, because there's certain rules about the Diva that has to be comfortable. When you're sitting there, you should be comfortable. It's raining, you go out, so I don't think you can just say all the requirements of the Diva are summed up on the Kazeva, but I think it is. Torah element there too. But I don't think it negates what the Rav is saying here. He's saying here that basically when you build the sukkah, you're not really trying to. I mean, you're going to have a diva, but the structure is basically focused on the schach. Okay. There is some diva element there, but you can't compare it to a shusayach of Shabbos there. The whole thing is to create that space here. There is a din of space, but it's not
It's not the ikar?
It's not the ikar part of it, right? In the structure, at least. Yeah.
By Shabbat, when we speak about a space in Rishut HaYachid, is that, are we referring to people's perception of the space? Or like the actual inherent that's going on?
I think it's, I think it's, basically you would say it's the inherent space, not the perception. I think the perception of the space might be to Rabbanon.
Right.
The Torah, things like that, that people should see it. But the Raisa wasn't really focused on what people had a perception, but just basically on the construction of the space. Yeah.
You say, like, kind of going off what he said, the inherent space, that the proof of that is later on the Gemara, where they discuss how do we know that ten tefachim, they bring the proof that it's like Hashem, it's like that's the minimum we go down to, and that's like the inherent space that, like, just because it's our perspective doesn't matter, but like that's like the minimum.
Okay. Yeah, the Amish seem to show something about space, which is against Rav's idea of ten. He says that the ten is like dinner in the walls. The Gemara then is a stretch for
So, as long as we have kosher schach, the walls are, it doesn't necessarily matter unless there's steel, unless there's something that would make a dafka a permanent structure, right?
You can have a permanent structure in the walls.
I guess we resolve that issue. What if there are sheets of glass, and then it comes to bother our shade? Can we have sheets of glass as walls, even though it will affect the shade?
In general, the shade is supposed to come from the schach, not from the walls.
They say that you should not have
sun,
enough space.
Sun might come in from the side.
Is that a problem? Why?
The focus of the sun is only in the schach. The Mishnah said that the schach has too much sun, it's no good.
Because the shade that it creates is, it negates the shade that is within the sukkah.
Everything, though, is coming from the top. You have
right.
to look. Apparently,
because you're right, it comes from the top, but only in as much as it affects the internal shade.
The connection between the shade on the top and the shade on the floor is a Gemara later on. The Gemara discusses where is the point that you're looking at the shade. In general, the Rav felt that the shade is on the roof, the schach, not on the bottom.
So as long as theoretically, if you were to have regular walls, the shade would not be affected because your roof is the roofing is properly constructed. Then, even if functionally you're destroying the shade by having sheets of glass, it will work because of the theoretical nature of the roofing.
Exactly. Right. Now he has a very interesting proof, which I think is a very good proof that you're not really using the walls for the space of the sukkah. You're using the walls only for the schach. He quotes a very interesting proof here. In that paragraph on the left side of Daf Tes on top, it says, V'raya l'kach, a proof that the walls have nothing to do with the space where you're sitting. It has only to do with the schach. Midin, Pesel Hayotze, there's a rule called an extension of the sukkah. Pesel means an extension, hayotze, which goes out. It was, you have for a kosher sukkah, let's say. This is called a pesa, an extension of the sukkah. And you're allowed to sit there.
It's like a doorway.
Huh?
It's the same thing.
You don't have a Philip wall, so you're sitting on the kosher spot. Some people even say, what if we even sit here? We have one. What's it, 2 minutes ago? Anyway.
You can, can you disconnect that little third piece?
Let's say you want. Let's say the third wall stops here and you sit over here.
Oh.
I don't know.
If you're
inside of at least two of the rooms.
I mean, if you take that small wall, you erase that.
You have to have a third, then you don't have a third wall.
No, then you draw it disconnected to it. Right there, just like that.
That's a question of that works. That's a discussion later on. It may not work with the space. Usually that attaches.
I can't visualize a structure. I don't know. Can you explain?
No, this is wall one. This is wall one.
So where's the ground?
There's no spot. This
is looking from the top.
There's no spot.
The ground is below that. So wall one, wall two, wall three.
It's a floor plan.
And the third wall is extending from the roof to the floor, but it doesn't reach the floor?
No.
There's no schach. It says schach there, I mean. It's just a bird's eye view.
There are three walls, a bird's eye view from the top. Okay, the schach is lying on top of these three walls. The guy is sitting underneath. Now, if he sits here, he has three walls. If he sits here, he only has two walls. This wall and this wall. If he sits here, he only has one wall.
So it's not a complete
schach. It's all connected schach. It's one schach. So the rule is that since the basic schach at the beginning had the three walls, it becomes kosher. So the whole schach all the way down is kosher.
But even if he's even that guy outside?
Yeah, because he has this one wall. So it's the same schach. The same schach. But I don't know. This is a question whether. I'm not so sure I can check that out. But for sure, the guy sitting here is going to be kosher because he has this, it's called an extension of the sukkah.
So, Rabbi,
let me see.
So, you have three walls and you have a complete schach from the top?
At the beginning of the sukkah, you have a very nice kosher sukkah. We have 3-4 walls and a nice schach. Someone sits there, doesn't have any issue whatsoever.
But one part of the schach is uncovered?
No, the schach is
like
full, full schach.
It's okay.
Yeah. You see, those are the walls?
These are the three walls. There's a part here where this wall comes out to, but this wall doesn't come out to. The schach covers this entire area. So if someone sits here, are they in the sukkah?
I see. So one of the walls is completely covered. One wall is much longer, and one wall is shorter. So he's sitting in that area that isn't fully closed by the wall third wall.
Yeah. Right.
And
here.
The fourth wall is an empty space. There's no fourth wall.
There's schach.
So, but the schach is jutting out, even though it's a shorter wall.
Right.
And he's sitting under that schach.
Right.
So we say that we extend the wall until the schach ends.
Yeah, it's one way of saying it, but the way the Rav is learning it now, you're not extending the other wall, you're just saying, since that is, it's a single schach, and the first section of the schach has three walls, which makes it kosher schach, so the mitzvah is not to sit in the wall, the mitzvah is to sit under the schach, so as that extends out further, you're still sitting under the schach, which was kosher, because it has three walls at the beginning.
So the Rav saying, even if he's not technically covered by the, he's not blocked by a wall,
right,
he's still under the shade of the schach.
Right.
So therefore, functionally, he's under the sukkah.
He's in the sukkah. Because the basic rule of the sukkah is sitting under kosher schach, not sitting within an area which is surrounded
by walls. Right, so it's not an extension of a wall, it's just we extend his sitting under the sukkah because he's under the schach.
Exactly. How could he?
That's
say
his
that?
Theory. That's how he explains
it. Isn't it then the Rambam says specifically the sukkah is that the walls are not being makshir the schach?
The Rambam said that the walls got the kedusha of the sukkah.
If they were just there to make the schach kosher, in their second. Then I could understand.
And why would you give them the kedusha of the sukkah? That's a good question. The Rav's grandfather, the Chaim Brisket, said that the Rambam doesn't mean the Rambam means that the kedusha goes on to something which is not a sukkah. But the walls are just
like the decorations.
Right.
Didn't we learn that the walls are only there because the schach needs to be there, so it becomes part of the schach. So it's part and parcel the same thing. That wasn't our conclusion?
Yeah, the Rav said that before, that the walls and the schach become united.
But we're saying
one,
that the Rambam didn't read like that.
No, he said it earlier in the Rambam that you get kedusha of the walls. There's a special kedusha of the sukkah. So everyone agrees that the schach gets kedusha. But the walls is a machlok of the word of kedusha. So he wanted to claim that the Rambam who gives kedusha to the walls. That the walls are part of the sukkah.
They're
part of the mitzvah.
And
so here he's sort of moving away from that because he's focusing on the fact that the walls make the schach kosher and you just have to get under the kosher schach so you can see this extension of the sukkah. There's an extension going out.
So if the walls.
He's saying that the walls don't extend, that short wall just sits where it is, it doesn't extend. But you can still sit there because you're under kosher schach. So in this particular piece, he's emphasizing the schach more than the walls. In the other piece, he equated the schach with the walls. So you got to get used to this with the Rav, that the Rav doesn't try to be perfectly consistent with his ideas from page to page.
So
no, he's basically leaving the fundamental ideas and have that consistent throughout.
There are fundamental ideas which play throughout, but he doesn't mind focusing on one idea to the exclusion of another idea. And then someone who's reading the whole thing and saying, I want to get a cohesive, united theory, you're going to have to work on it, just how to put all these pieces together. I don't know if he didn't want to spend the time on it, or just really wanted to get the principles out and cover as much ground with basic principles, but to make everything fit perfectly, that wasn't his, he didn't do that. So, I personally don't think it's a problem what he said before with what he's saying over here. I think it's a question of emphasis, that before you want to emphasize that the walls.
Emphasis.
I like schach and that they become part of the real sukkah. And here he's saying, but still there's a difference that, be that as it may, but still the schach takes on an identity of its own and the schach becomes kosher. You can sit under the schach even though you're not with the walls in that extension. I don't think it's a real problem, it's just emphasizing something for some point.
So you wouldn't say he's like, disagreeing with the Brisker Rav that the walls are.
I think he disagrees with Reb Chaim Brisker, who wrote that the walls are just a condition, even if they have kedusha. I think he thinks that the walls are part of the sukkah, but he thinks that you don't really have to sit within the walls. They're part of the sukkah, but basically together with the kosher schach. But the guy is sitting there, his chiyuv is to sit on the schach. Not with walls, and this is part of his theory that space is not really the main consideration of what the walls are doing when you're doing the mitzvah. It's more the schach. But I think it's consistent. It's okay. Yeah.
So is the Rav's point like to kind of like drill the idea that there is just a distinction between, for the Rambam, Shabbos and Sukkah, because by Shabbos you need four walls, and yes, by Sukkah we say three walls, but even further we can say that he only needs two walls, that it's really, you know, trying to make like a further distinction.
Yeah, so he's just pushing that distinction more and more to get sukha
separate from
Shabbat. Exactly. So let's just read this last little proof that he has here. It's not a little proof, it's a big proof. Ra'ilachach, a proof that the main point of the walls is not to create space of a sukkah, but to get kosher schach. He says, medin pesla yotzi, from that schach, which is an extension. Shemishi yoshev sham, you sit there, you don't have three walls, yotzi, he gets a mitzvah. Hagam, even though sheini yoshev bein gimel defanot hasukkah, he's not sitting within the three walls of a sukkah. Vatamhu, and the explanation for that is, the leka din, there is no requirement in a sukkah to sit in the place which is surrounded by walls. You have to sit under a kosher schach. Pesel hayotze, if you have that extension, it is kosher schach. The schach has three kosher walls at the front end. So If you get kosher schach, you can literally just sit under that kosher schach. You're outside the walls. You're not in the space, so to speak, of the sukkah. Yes.
I guess if you just kind of say it's all in the short shape, like for Shabbat, you know, for Shabbat Shevet, like the space, whereas like sukkah schach is it's not just for the
right. Also, yeah, right. It fits nicely with the Kabbalah, with the Hasidus that. Sukkah Yatvili Schach is the main big thing, and Shabbat is the space, like I say, the Shabbat, okay? It's interesting. And he's going Shabbat four walls, Sukkah three walls, but then even the three walls of Sukkah is not to sit.
It's not like the
Ikar. It's not the Ikar. So it's really, if the Rambam would not give Kedusha to the walls, it would be excellent, but the Rambam does give Kedusha to the walls. So Chaim Brisker said that the Rambam feels the Kedusha goes into something which has nothing to do with the real sukkah, just it's a very important condition of the sukkah to have the walls, so that's enough for it to get Kedusha. That's how the Chaim says it. But the Rav was saying he felt that that makes that part of the sukkah, but still it doesn't negate that the schach is more important than how it functions. It can function in a certain way independently of the walls. The person can sit in the extension. He has nothing. Fundamentally, those walls only relate to the schach at the other end, and they don't relate to him. So it's interesting. Very sophisticated discussion, yes.
So, according to Rabbi Chaim Brisker's explanation on the Rambam, we're saying that the walls have kedusha, but it doesn't. But it's not part of the schach.
Not part of the sukkah. Just a condition to make the schach kosher. The schach is the whole sukkah.
And the Rav would say rather, it does have kedusha. And it is part of the schach, and it's one sukkah.
Yes, but
there's a separate identity of the schach, which is more important. It supersedes the kedusha of the walls.
Right.
So even if you're not covered by the walls, you're covered by the schach.
Right.
So you have.
You have a kosher area to sit in. You can sit there. You're on the kosher schach.
You have to say that the walls make the schach kosher with this. You have to.
Because right.
Otherwise you can have four poles upholding the schach.
Right. Right. You spend a lot of time.
Why would that be an issue?
The walls have to be real, and you can't ignore a real wall.
What makes a kosher wall? What makes a wall a wall, according to the halacha?
Of sukkah?
Yeah.
Well, it's 10 tefachim high, and it's permanent, it's not strong.
Yes.
It's kosher.
It's very amazing the way the discussions get so sophisticated.
It's beautiful logic.
Yeah, it's amazing. Get into a completely different world of theory, but it's amazing. It's beautiful. Okay, we'll tie. Have a good Shabbos and have a new Sunday. Maybe not.